Chapter 1. The Fall of Manila. Benjamin Franklin Edwards, a mechanic with Pan American Airways for less than a year, arrived in Manila aboard the airline's famed China Clipper on October 2, 1941. The big Martin M-130 flying boat was known by Pan Am employees as Suite 16, NR-14716, and had been the first seaplane delivered to the airline and the first to fly scheduled air service across the Pacific. It touched down on Manila Bay and taxied to the ramp at Pan Am's Cavite base, 8 miles southwest of the Philippine capital, known worldwide as the Pearl of the Orient for its picturesque seaside location, tropical beauty, and golden sunsets from the shoreline of its enchanting bay. For Edwards, soon to turn 23, single as a jaybird and with a good-paying job in an industry that offered international travel and adventure, the flight from Honolulu, where he had worked on seaplanes for 6 months after training at Treasure Island in San Francisco Bay for his new assignment, had been a wide-eyed thrill the entire way. The crossing had taken 4 days, with overnight stops at Midway, Wake, and Guam, island outposts few Americans had heard of, but names that would soon appear in newspaper headlines in the coming months. While assisting the cabin steward on the flight, Edwards had met a number of well-to-do Manila residents who encouraged him to look them up. He occasionally spelled the flight engineer, keeping a watchful eye on the array of gauges for the flight systems. He even got to sit in the cockpit when one of the pilots went to stretch his legs. This was heady stuff for a Midwestern farm boy who had come of age during the Depression, dropped out of high school and left home to escape an abusive stepfather, and lived with various relatives, sometimes arriving at their door with only a paper bag filled with his worldly possessions. Growing up, the boy, who was named after American patriot and founding father Benjamin Franklin, learned how to fight and survive. But along the way, he picked up a zest for life, rather than a chip on his shoulder. Edwards was a trim, handsome man, just shy of 6 feet, with a shock of dark hair, a swarthy complexion, chiseled jaw, and neatly trimmed mustache. He reminded people of dashing leading man Errol Flynn, which didn't hurt when it came to his being invited into the social circle of expatriate Americans living and working in Manila. For 2 glorious months, he spent weekdays working on the big seaplanes as they came and went on their long trans-Pacific flights, and most nights and weekends being wined and dined and meeting young women. "Really, I'm having a swell time," he wrote to his sister in California. Then, one early December day, things changed forever for Ben and the rest of the world. Edwards came to work as usual on Monday morning, December 8th. The international dateline in the middle of the Pacific Ocean put the Philippines a day ahead of Hawaii and the continental United States, where it was Sunday, December 7th, 1941. The guard at the Pan Am gate, an older American and a veteran of World War I, hollered to Edwards, "Have you heard?" "Heard what?" "We're at war with Japan." Edwards joked that the guard shouldn't drink on the job, but the unsmiling man countered with enough details about the surprise attack on Pearl Harbor to be convincing. Rushing inside, Edwards heard the latest radio bulletins, none of which were good. Pearl Harbor was ablaze with burning and sinking U.S. warships. Edwards had heard a lot of talk in Hawaii about a possible war with Japan, although he never believed it would happen. But there had been a very realistic air raid drill at Pearl shortly before he left that made him wonder if rumors of war weren't so far-fetched after all. Still, he had not been overly worried about coming to the Philippines, which by treaty was under U.S. protection. Everyone believed Japan was a paper tiger and had no chance against America's military might. If war came, conventional wisdom was that the United States would win quickly. The next 2 days were a blur for Edwards. The Pan Am facilities were sandwiched between the Cavite Navy Yard and Sangley Point Naval Base, both prime military targets. The last scheduled Pan Am seaplane had passed through days earlier, headed for Hong Kong, where it had been destroyed in the bay by Japanese planes only hours after the Pearl Harbor attack. Pan Am had urgently recalled all its aircraft to the United States. None would be stopping at Manila, so orders came to dispose of the large supply of 55-gallon drums of aviation gasoline by rolling them into the bay during an outgoing tide. Alarmingly, the incoming tide brought them back, but they were quickly salvaged by Filipinos who anticipated a shortage of fuel for their fishing boats,